Yo, what is going on, people? Episode 7 has been long overdue, and you deserve it. And I need to get on my grind, pumping out these episodes before a little vacay getaway with the family. But an episode definitely needs to be thrown out there in the atmosphere for you guys to listen to, enjoy, and just collectively gather yourselves around a couple of topics that we are going to be talking. I'm not going to be talking about leagues. I will be talking about leagues, but I'm not going to be talking about, like, leagues, every single game in the leagues. I'm going to be trying to talk about much, much more than that, because so much more needs to be said about a couple of topics that I want to shine light on. This episode is going to shine a light on a couple of topics that really have been circulating the football atmosphere, or the football sphere, as you would like to mention it, or however you want to call it. But nonetheless, I'm very excited to get this episode underway, because I've been wanting to churn it out. Maybe it might get a little bit biased at times. You might feel there was a little bit of bias in. But nonetheless, every single opinion that I put out there is obviously for it to be discussed, debated, talked about, as I continue to frivolously promote and talk about in every single episode that I've put out, even in the little update episode that was uploaded to the Sphere, to Soccer Symphony. We have a Twitter page, at Soccer Symphony, and that's where we talk, that's where we get together. And I haven't been promoting the Twitter page as much as I would like to, because the beginning is always kind of rough. Every episode is not going to be perfect. There are going to be mistakes. There are going to be stats I missed. My flow isn't the best flow out there, probably. You probably listen to other podcasters who have a way better flow than I do. But nonetheless, I appreciate you for the continuance in listeners. The numbers go up with every single time, and I'm really appreciative to you. If you appreciate the podcast, if you appreciate the episode, why don't you go ahead and share the name of the podcast, the Twitter, the name of the podcast, the name of the Twitter account where you can get in touch with us, and let's talk about it. You know, spread the good news of the beautiful gospel of soccer, futebol, calcio, football, because it's a topic that we really need to get into discussion about. I'm going to shine a light on a couple of topics. There's no specific order or importance, but there are a couple of things that I do want to talk about, because, well, why not? So why don't you sit tight, if you're driving, keep your ears glued, if you're chilling in your house, you know, listen up, pop those headphones in a little bit more snug. If you're going out for a jog or run and you want something to listen to, well, this is it. This is what you're going to listen to. But I thank you. I appreciate it for everything, all the support, and believe me, I will keep fighting episode after episode to try to continue to, get into the works. So thank you, and let's get this episode underway. Episode 7 of Soccer Symphony. All right, so basically, as you already know, I'm a Liverpool supporter, and I'm going to shine a light on a couple of things. Like I said in the beginning of the introduction, sometimes it might feel a little bit biased, but nonetheless, I always try shining a light on topics that have been heavily touched and graced and debated and brought up to light. But nonetheless, today I want to talk about the likes of how we're always going to shine a light on the Premier League. We're always going to talk about the Premier League because it's one of the most important leagues in the world, and because eyes are always on it, because it's a league packed and stacked with world star players, with superstar players who are always just performing match day after match day. So we have to keep that in mind. But I want to talk about Liverpool up to this point, because Liverpool have already done a good job in the first couple of match days. And I believe that their next match day that's coming up next against Tottenham Hotspurs is really going to be a test. Because we're not going to underestimate Tottenham just because they lost their last game against the Hornets, against Watford, because Watford are doing spectacular because they're undefeated for the past four games, but so are Chelsea and so are, you know, Liverpool. But nonetheless, we still can't underestimate Tottenham because they beat Newcastle, but Newcastle is a story in their own. They defeated Fulham 3-1, and then they defeated Manchester United, and that deserves a big merit because taking Manchester United down isn't an easy deal, even though Manchester United are suffering Mourinho's what they call third season syndrome, and we don't know if Mourinho will last up till the January transfer window. Like, we don't know. Will they just give him, like, the first part of the season to prove himself? Will they give him the whole entire season to prove himself? There's so much to discuss, and we're going to talk about the Premier League for a little section here because there's just so much to talk about. And will Liverpool be able to deliver, you know, against Tottenham? As we know, this week is International Week. A lot of international matches happening. If you haven't already seen yet, the awesome banger Gareth Bale delivered against Ireland in their 4-1 victory over Ireland, Wales. But staying on the Premier League topic, will Liverpool be able to continue that momentum? Will he be able to continue and deliver match day after match day and actually prove themselves that, yes, we deserved to be in the 2017-2018 Champions League final? We deserve to have finished and qualify for the Champions League again and actually get the opportunity to prove ourselves again. It's match week 5, and it, you know, like, we've come back revamped this season. We stacked up in the likes of Alisson. We got we finally got Naby Keita, even though Liverpool had already purchased him from RB Leipzig, but they finally got him into the squad. He's been performing. He's, you know, demonstrated his quality. And as Liverpool supporters, we've seen the beauty in the likes of what it is to have a good midfielder, and like the awesome energy and charisma that Jurgen Klopp can inject in his squad. And will we be able to see Liverpool in a Champions League final again? I don't know why, but I feel that it's going to be very difficult for Liverpool to get to the final of the Champions League again, just because there's just so many teams out there that are hungry. For starters, PSG want it really bad. That's why they got Neymar. That's why they got Mbappe. And they have a really good stacked team. Like, we saw what Mbappe did in the World Cup, so we know he's going to deliver for PSG as well. Like, we've seen him deliver for Monaco. We've seen him deliver for France. We're seeing him now deliver for PSG. And if he can keep his head on straight, because I believe at such a young age, all this star power is going up to his head. Look, kid, you're good. You're really good. You demonstrated it at an international level on a World Cup stage. You're good. And we see that. But you can't let this stuff go to your head. You have to keep your head on straight. You have to keep your head on right. Because being carted off in a league game like that for no reason, like, that's not who I believe as you saw Ronaldo one day. And we've seen the iconic picture of Mbappe chilling on his bed with, like, posters surrounding him of Ronaldo. Like, there's going to be those kids who are going to be surrounded by Kylian Mbappe pictures as well. You are now an example for everybody. And I understand you're 19, but as Uncle Ben told Spider-Man in the movie, with great power comes great responsibility. And you have not necessarily superpowers, but you do have a big influence in the youth and what it means for football carrying on forward. But ending that side note on Mbappe, PSG are a threat. So PSG won it. As we saw, I believe, like, I don't know if it was like pre-match or it was like before a game or something like that, or some sort of like presentation that Barcelona had, we saw Messi take the microphone, which we do see him, but he's a man of very few words. But we actually made him see, we saw him and heard him made a really bold statement in the likes that Barcelona, which is my preferred Spanish side, but remember, I won't let my passion or like for a certain club affect the reality of what it is for me to, you know, say, like, I'm gonna say it raw. If like Liverpool suck. If Liverpool played a horrible game, or if Barcelona played a horrible game, I'm not gonna be like, well, you know, they did good. Like, no, there's no bias, and I'm gonna be raw with y'all. And that's what you're always gonna get. You're never gonna get any bias. And if you want to correct me in any way, shape, or form, you know, kind of tell me, you know, what is what, then that's why we have our beautiful Twitter page at Soccer Symphony. Shameless plug in there. I'm never gonna stop promoting the Twitter page because we gotta blow that up, bro. Anyways, nonetheless, caring for Barcelona want to achieve, and they've been bowing out for the past three consecutive Champions League, and like quarterfinals was one. But off the top of my head, but I mean, Barcelona have gotten shit, like, unfortunately, like, remember when we made a huge comeback against PSG, and then we got eliminated. I don't remember versus who, but we I think it was like Bayern, something like that. I can't remember, but also remember when we beat Roma and we're like, you know, this is it, we're good, you know, and then we ended up getting knocked out by Roma. So I think Barcelona have a lot of things to cover, and I think that they do in the likes that Dembele's waking up and he's delivering for Barca, because he didn't really get the chance to shine on the international stage like he should have. They have Coutinho, who is revamping himself, like, season, game after game, season after season, who really needs to demonstrate that he's better than what everyone... We know he's world-class. We've seen him deliver at Liverpool, and we saw glimpses and shines of it at, you know, Barcelona already. But remember, due to certain regulations that coincidentally now are being removed, you can now sign a player that's played in the Champions League. For example, Barcelona are interested in like Rabiot from PSG. Let's say he plays Champions League football with PSG, and then Barcelona buy him in the January transfer window, he will be allowed to play with Barcelona in the Champions League with Barcelona, even if he played in the beginning of the season with PSG. And then if you remember last season, Coutinho was not able to play Champions League football with Barcelona in the second half in the knockout stages because he had played his trade in the Champions League with Liverpool. But now that's gone. And now Liverpool... And now Coutinho gets to play Champions League football with Barcelona, which he didn't get last season. They got Dembele. They try adding a little bit of spice to the sauce by buying a very flamed and flared, kind of passionate, sort of like, you know, dangerous player in the likes of Arturo Vidal from Bayern Munich, because we know he's world-class, we know he's good, we know he can deliver. But he's also like a wild card. You don't know what player you're going to get. Are you going to get a very good, invigorated, head-on, straight-focused defensive midfielder in the likes of Arturo Vidal, or midfielder, or is he going to get red-carded like in the second half? We don't know. But nonetheless, I mean, they've revamped. They got Lenglet. They also got Malcolm. They hijacked the purchase from Roma. I guess like a little salt on the wound payback for what they did by knocking them out in the last year's Champions League. But nonetheless, we know Barcelona have the depth and squad to actually carry forth and deliver a very good, strong Champions League campaign. We also have Real Madrid, who now have something to prove. Will they be able to win their fourth consecutive Champions League and keep doing history and keep making history even without Ronaldo? Like, now they have a point to prove. Like, yeah, look, we won three consecutive Champions Leagues, but we don't even need Ronaldo. We can win a fourth without him. And then we have Juventus, who bought Ronaldo, who wants to keep proving himself in every single league in the world and every single team that he gets a chance. He delivered at every club he's been in. He delivered at Man United. He delivered for 9 years at Real Madrid. And now he will try to deliver at Juventus. And that's going to be something that we're going to have to keep our eyes on. Because I've heard a lot of controversy. Like, Serie A isn't as easy as everyone says. You know, whatever. But we also know that, like, Ronaldo had a slow start last season for Real Madrid, and he has not scored in the past three consecutive games for Juventus. And people are coming out, you see, Serie A isn't that hard, Serie A is like this. No, bro, like, you know, every league has its difficulties, except for, like, Ligue 1. I swear, Ligue 1, you could... That's the one horse right there with, like... But nonetheless, you can't underestimate it either, because, you know, we've seen PSG thrown on the ropes already. So, like, yeah, like... Like, every league has their own difficulty. Every league isn't going to be like, yeah, please play here, and like, it's going to be like a Sunday league. No. Every game is going to be difficult. And we know that Ronaldo can deliver because we've seen him do it for so many years. We've seen that he stays in form for so many years. So Juventus showed that they mean business, and the likes that now they got Dybala and they have Ronaldo. Remember, Juventus got Higuain from Napoli, and before Napoli, he was at Real Madrid. And when he came from Real Madrid, he had one of the most successful seasons. And like I believe like Higuain actually broke kind of history records in like scoring as many goals in Serie A history. So if a former Real Madrid player has came before, why can't Ronaldo come and, you know, make history? We've seen him last season literally go from no goals to tying Luis Suarez for like second place for the Golden Boot in La Liga. And Messi clearly won La Liga because Messi will be Messi. And it's not like Messi's going to let a big advantage go, even though kudos and respect to Ronaldo for grinding in. And I believe he will grind in Serie A and he will demonstrate what he's worth. Because for me, Ronaldo is obviously one of the greatest players that football has ever seen play the beautiful game. But continuing our march through the Champions League topic. It started off with me talking about Liverpool in the Premier League and will they be able to continue to deliver. But why don't we let progress be progress, and why don't we just stay on that Champions League topic? Because even though I was talking about Liverpool and how they're going to have to prove themselves for a second time and see that they were actually worth it, I actually like the train that we're going with. I actually like the boat that we're on, the little carriage that we're on right now. And we're going to keep touching the base here. And we're going to talk about the results for the draw and stuff like that. But nonetheless, I'm talking about the big teams who actually have a point to prove this season. Now, the next team that I want to talk about is Manchester City. Because we know Pep Guardiola has won the Champions League with Barcelona, but he has yet to make an impact with Manchester City in Europe. Cool, you won the Premier League in one of the most difficult leagues in the world, but how about you win one of the most prestigious trophies in the world with, quote-unquote, one of the best teams in England? You have the squad, you have the depth, you have Leroy Sané, Kevin De Bruyne, Kun Aguero, Gabriel Jesus, you got a great studded goalkeeper in the likes of Ederson, you have great center backs, you know, this oil, Arab money, or whatever it is that you're getting is fueling one of the most dangerous and prolific Manchester City squads that we've seen probably ever. And under the reins of one of the most prestigious managers who studies tactics so hard. And as you notice, like Pep Guardiola at Barcelona, clearly he speaks Catalan and he speaks Spanish, but he also speaks English. But after he left Barcelona for Bayern Munich, we know that he was studying German like crazy. And as you knew, he took the reins in like Bayern Munich. So wherever Guardiola goes, he adapts to the role of where he's at. And he delivers. He delivered in Bayern Munich, which unfortunately he never was able to see Champions League glory with Bayern Munich. But will he be able to see it with Manchester City? And guess what? I believe he can. Because he has the depth and he has the squad to do it. So we talked about Liverpool. We talked about Real Madrid. We talked about PSG. We talked about Juventus. We talked about Manchester City. How about Bayern Munich? Because they have a squad who is becoming aged. Because I believe that, like Zlatan once said, you know, I'm like wine. The older I get, the better I get. But the squad for Bayern Munich is getting kind of old. Thomas Müller isn't the young lad who we saw. He hasn't been performing at the highest level as he should have. They got Robert Lewandowski, who can always deliver, but you know he's not getting any younger either. I mean, the lad is like what, like 29? He's 30. So, you know, you got him who is 30. You got Thomas Müller who is... He should be like 31. 28, I'm sorry. Okay, Thomas Müller's 28. Wow, I would have never thought that, you know, Müller's younger than Lewandowski. But, you know, just goes to show you, you know, what's good. They got Javier Martinez, which I know. They got Frank Ribéry, who's old. Arjen Robben, who's old. But they have a squad. I mean, they have players. And will Bayern Munich be able to show they mean business? Because we haven't seen them win a Champions League since like 2013, and my memory isn't failing me, something like that. But it's been a while since we've seen Bayern Munich actually show that they're a threat. We saw them get demolished by Barcelona. We've seen them get demolished by Real Madrid. We've just seen them not be their best them. And that's something that we have yet to see. Now let's talk about Man United now. And in the beginning, I said we're not going to go in any particular order because this is just a train of thought. We're chugging on straight. So this isn't any particular order and any particular preference of me thinking who's going to win the Premier League. But I will give you my opinion towards the end of this segment and let you know who I believe is strong contender to win the Champions League, because it's very difficult, because the teams that I'm mentioning now have a lot to prove. Now, Man United have a lot to prove because they haven't won the Champions League in a very, very long time. And they haven't even won the Premier League in a very long time. They have yet. Manchester United are the type of team that they need to prove themselves in their own league before they think they can prove themselves on a international club level. We've seen them do it we've seen them perform in England, but you know, I believe they have to freaking prove their worth in the Premier League. They can't be losing against low opposition. And we saw them lose against Brighton Hove Albion, and they lost back-to-back games with like Brighton, and then they lost against Tottenham. And cool, yeah, they beat Burnley, but you know who they face next? Watford. And guess what? Watford undefeated. And guess what? Man United are playing away at Watford's on Watford's pitch, on their side, on their field. So they're away. So they have a couple of things going against them, but Mourinho has yet to prove himself. And like they said, if Man United are going through their Mourinho's third season syndrome, then I don't see Man United being a threat. Even though when you hear Manchester United, you hear Champions League, the most Premier Leagues, you hear them like a trophy stacked team. And when you hear Manchester United, you hear history and success. But we haven't seen that in Man United. And who knows when will we be able to see them again? Will Lukaku deliver? Will Pogba stay or go? Like, they're in the summer transfer window. We heard a lot of strong rumors of him not being content with Mourinho. And what would Man United rather lose? A manager who's barely getting them into the brim, who is quote-unquote suffering his third season syndrome, or a world-class player and a World Cup winner like Paul Pogba? Who are Man United willing to let go? Their manager that can be easily replaced, or Paul Pogba? But, you know, if I was reading up that, like, Mourinho said that, like, if Man United want him to go, then they're going to have to pay a good amount of money for him to go. Because it's going to cost them. And if they sell Paul Pogba, they are going to lose a good star player, but they're also going to gain, like, millions of euro. So, I mean, it's a win-lose. Like, you win money, but you lose a quality player. I don't know. And Manchester United have a lot of things to solve on their own and in their respective league before they can actually come up on an international stage like the Champions League and prove themselves against every other opposition in the team. Now, I look at the eight groups in the Champions League, and I'm like, you know what? I see every single group has stacked teams. But I think we have the group of death, in my opinion, is Group B, where Barcelona is. Barcelona, Tottenham, PSV Eindhoven, and Inter. And I guess, like, the second group of death, I want to say, is Group A. But it's like a tie between, like, Group A and Group H. Group A has Atletico Madrid, Borussia Dortmund, Monaco, and Club Brugge from Belgium. And then in Group H, you have Juventus. Excuse me, I'm like stuttering, bro. Like, my mind is going faster than my mouth is working. We have Juventus, Manchester United, Valencia, and Young Boys from Switzerland. For me, those are sort of the two groups of death, because as we discuss the other groups, I'll tell you why. And I'm going to put a pause on that, because Group A and Group H look like groups of death. For me, the group of death is Group B, but then maybe the second group of death, and then Group A and H could be like the third group of death, like a tie. But the third group of death for me is Group C, with PSG, Napoli, Liverpool, and Red Star from Serbia. Because we haven't seen them in the Champions League for a while. I think it's been like 20 plus years, something like that, I think I heard. And it's crazy. All right, sorry about that. But nonetheless, getting back onto the topic. For me, the first group of death is Group B. The second group of death is Group C. And then you could debate between Group A and Group H, that has Group A, Atletico, Dortmund, Monaco, Club Brugge. Group H, we could talk about, you know, Juventus, Man United, and Valencia being strong. But shining the light on the Man United subject, like I said, I think Man United needs to get their affairs in check before they start actually pursuing a realistic Champions League campaign. Sure, they'll show damage. Sure, I think they'll get out second place in the group, because obviously I feel like Juventus can get their stuff together, and Ronaldo can put his goal scoring boots back on, and he can demonstrate what he's made of and show that he's done it in England. He's done it in Portugal, England, he's done it in Spain, and he's gonna do it in Italy. So we'll see what that happens. But nonetheless, I mean, I guess I wanted to shine a quick light on on the top contenders, and if you were taking note, you'll remember every single one of them that I spoke. I mostly shine a light on like the player of each group, but because we have sort of some light groups, some groups that are lighter and aren't as complicated as like a group B or a group H or A or C. But we're gonna break down every single group, and then we'll end the Champions League segment, which went from being a let's talk about Liverpool in the Premier League segment to like let's talk about Liverpool into the Champions League, and then we literally transitioned into the Champions League. Who knows why? But anyways, Group A, Atletico, Dortmund, Monaco, Club Brugge. I'm going to give you like a quick prediction of who I think will finish in first, second, third, and fourth place. As we know, in the Champions League, if you finish in third place, you get a beautiful spot in the round of 32, I think, or something like that. You get another shot in the Europa League, and that's what you do. So, let's talk about it. All right. You have Group A. Atletico, Dortmund, Monaco, Club Brugge. Atletico, for me, will finish in first place because they have the depth, because they have the squad, because they just got Lamar from Monaco. And that's funny because we're going to see like Lamar face his old partners in Monaco. And I think I mentioned in episodes prior that Monaco are the team that let every single one of their star players go. I think Bernardo Silva played for Monaco, and then they bought him. Then Manchester City bought him. I think Bernardo Silva played in Monaco. Gian Moutinho played in Monaco. James played in Monaco. Lamar played in Monaco. As we know, he now signed for Atletico Madrid. I'm trying to think. Oh, Mendy, who now plays his trade in Manchester City, played in Monaco. I'm trying to think. And I know there's been other players who have left Monaco, but Monaco isn't the side who they used to be. And they have a very veteran striker in the likes of Falcao. But I don't think Monaco have depth to carry them further on into the Champions League. Soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, has the tradition or the surprise of always surprising us and proving us wrong sometimes. And I could talk smack about Monaco right now, and then they end up being... Then you end up seeing like Monaco take dubs and like probably even end up first place in Group A. So soccer does a great job of contradicting us and all the people who think they have good predicting game. But on paper, and I'm speaking solely on paper, I believe that this is how it's going to end. So I pin Atletico to win first place. I pin Dortmund to get second place. I think it's the obvious. I pin Dortmund to get second place because they got Pulisic, they lost Batshuayi to Valencia. He got loaned. He's still a Chelsea player, but he got taken from Dortmund and got shipped over to Valencia. And can we discuss about, can we look, take a quick little look at the Dortmund squad list really quick, because I don't even know who they have anymore. I mean, I think Socrates was their player, but then as we saw, Socrates now plays his trade in Arsenal. He's wearing an Arsenal jersey now. They don't have a goalkeeper that you're like, oh, you know, like. But they got Hakimi, the left back, I believe, from Real Madrid. He's loaned, obviously. They got Julian Weigl, who's always shown himself as being good. They still got Lucas Piszczek. Thomas Delaney, they got Mario Götze, they got Marco Reus, and if he can keep himself healthy, then he can prove his worth. They got Mohamed Dahoud, who if you play FIFA career mode, you know he's a beast to get, and you'll level him up quickly. You got Christian Pulisic, the American wonder boy. They got Paco Alcácer, who I almost slipped from my mind. Now he got the number 9. He replaced that sort of Batshuayi role. Now will he be able to deliver for Dortmund like he never really got the chance to deliver for Barca? He got his fair share of goals in, but clearly you're not going to shine when the number 9 on your team is Luis Suarez, who's delivering season after season. And even though he's having a slow start this season, They still found it in their desires to loan Paco Alcácer to Borussia Dortmund. And then they got Maximilian Philippe. And those are the names that stand out the most for me if I'm looking at it like, you know, will he deliver? We will see further on what's going to happen. All right. Third, I pinned Monaco to go finish playing the second half of their European campaign season in the Europa League, because I believe that's where they probably will do better, because I believe Atletico know what they want and Dortmund really have to challenge themselves, because they can't keep letting the only really German threat in European football to be Bayern Munich, and they really have to make a stance. I don't know if Paco Alcácer will really be the answer to all their problems. And other than that, I don't see them having like another threat of a goal. But I hope Paco Alcácer proves us wrong, because being a Barcelona supporter, we hope that he does what he can do and show Barcelona that, A, he needed to go out to maybe explode and play us straight in another league. And we know that Suárez is aging. So will he be able to be some sort of replacement for Suárez if he decides to blow up for Dortmund? We don't know. But like I said, I believe Monaco will end up in third place going to play their trade in the Europa League, because they lost their stars. I mean, come on. Let's take a look at their squad list, at their roster, because I really don't know who they even have anymore. I know they brought new people in. Obviously, they aren't going to just keep selling their players and getting rid of them and then not have nobody. I mean, they got Subasic, who did a hell of a job for Croatia in the World Cup, one of the best Croatian goalkeepers and the likes out there. They got Jemerson. They got Sibde, they got Glik, Ragi, I'm just saying, Benjamin Hendricks. I think he played in the German league. I just don't remember what club he played for. But he's another player that if you check it out in the FIFA career mode, if you get him, he's tasty. Let's see who else they have. They got Yudi Tielemans, who's another Scarlet, if you get him in FIFA. Why am I talking a lot about FIFA career mode? Because I love it, and it's pretty dope. They got Adama Traore. They got Nasir Charlie. They got Golovin, who did a very good job for Russia in the World Cup. Radamel Falcao. They got Jovetic, which is pretty cool. I never knew that. Excuse me. But you know what? I mean, like, you look at Monaco's squad and you're like, okay, you know what? I should have bit my tongue and reevaluated things. But I still think that they can actually be a stronger threat in the Europa League as in the Champions League. I think that... I believe that second place will definitely be fought between Dortmund and Monaco, and while Atletico Madrid are doing their job of beating Dortmund, Monaco, and Club Brugge, and Dortmund are battling it out for second, Club Brugge will literally be the underdog in this club, in this group, clearly be the underdog that no one's going to be focusing on them, that they could surprise us, and maybe Monaco will end up fourth, and they'll go to the Europa League. But nonetheless, I know that Monaco or Dortmund will get second, and be careful for Club Brugge, because they could end up freaking surprising us and they can be end up going to the Europa League. Or hell, maybe they play the hell out of their trade and they end up getting second place. We don't know. But in that beautiful transition, we're going to go on to Group B, where we talk about Barcelona, Tottenham, PSV, Eindhoven, and Inter. Because we have two of my favorite clubs in here, Barcelona being from Spain and Inter being from Italy, because I support Inter in the Italian league. Because I know there's some people that say, oh, well, I think you should only support one club and one club only. But I love football and I love all the leagues. And you got to keep your eye on every single league. And you got to have a team that you support in every single league to keep things fun, to keep things, you know, interesting. For anyone who supports soccer and loves soccer knows that Messi got snubbed for FIFA's the best, which is a topic that I do want to talk about, but this might just become a Champions League episode and we might not stray away onto other segments until another episode. But he got snubbed for FIFA's the best. He got snubbed from the European Player of the Year, but clearly, I mean, whatever. I don't want to get into too much depth. Too much into that topic, because clearly if I want to do another episode, it will solely be on we will be talking about individual trophies, which is FIFA's the best, the Ballon d'Or, the European Player of the Year, etc, etc, etc. Anyways, moving forth, Messi has to prove himself again, and he needs to get back on the throne, because I am a Barcelona fan, but I'm also a Messi fan, and I believe Messi is one of the greatest players to ever live currently, and he will definitely leave a big legacy behind. And who I like Ronaldinho said that
Barcelona should just retire the number 10 once Messi leaves football, because no one will ever be able to wear the number 10 in Barcelona and probably fill the shoes in what Messi does, because Messi goes game after game, record after record. Messi has gotten to the point that he's scored so many goals that every other goal is probably breaking a record, whether it's being La Liga top goal scorer, whether it's scoring most goals in a season, whether it's scoring Barcelona's 1,000th goal in La Liga. You know, Messi's there. And Messi's going to deliver. And Messi's going to show his worth. And not only Messi, but Dembele really wants to show that that Kylian Mbappe isn't the only young Frenchman who's out there, and that he wasn't bought for no reason for millions and millions of euros from Borussia Dortmund a couple seasons ago. And he's going to show his worth. And then also you got Malcolm coming in. You have a great midfielder in the likes of Douglas, that a couple of players have said he shows a lot of likes and comparisons to Xavi Hernandez, who was Barcelona's, probably debatably one of Barcelona's greatest players who ever played for the club. And Douglas. Anyways, then we're going to talk about Tottenham. And Tottenham, I think, have done very well in the Premier League, but they haven't won anything, I think, at all. They haven't won an FA Cup. They haven't won the Carabao Cup. They haven't won the Premier League in a while, in years and years and years. Like, I don't remember the last time that Tottenham actually won some silverware. And will they have something to prove in the Champions League? Yeah. They don't have the depth. Like, they put out their first squad, and that's all they have. Like, they don't have somebody that they can pull off the bench. Like, we saw them make a tasty signing in the likes of Lucas Moura, but that was last season. That was in the January transfer window of last season. And this transfer window, Tottenham didn't make any signings, which I respect, because I actually like clubs who decide to invest and develop their youth and develop the players that they already have. And they got Lucas Moura, who did very good, and we saw him do very good, very well against Manchester United. And we see that Tottenham can actually get the job done. So I pinned Barcelona to get first, and I'm pinning Tottenham to get second. We saw what they did against Real Madrid, and they did it at they did it at Wembley, and they did it at the Bernabeu, and they did a very good job last season. Even though, I mean, Real Madrid ended up winning their third consecutive Champions League, but nonetheless, I believe that they have to redeem themselves and show what they're worth. And it hurts for me to say, because I'm an Inter fan and I would love to see them play in the round of 16, you know, and get back on it and on a international scale, because we haven't done very well in Serie A, let alone talking about this is their first time in the Champions League in like 6 years or something like that. It's been a while since Inter have been in the Champions League. We've either been playing Europa League, or we've done so shite in the league that we haven't even gotten in a European position to play. So that's something to keep in mind. And then we have PSV Eindhoven. So I think Inter will get third, Tottenham will get second, Barcelona will get first, and PSV Eindhoven is going to have to battle it off really hard and demonstrate what they're worth. And they'll probably end up getting knocked out and just end up in Group B. At fourth place in Group B, because I think Group B is really considered one of the groups of death, if not like the group of death, or up there with Group C, which is next, because we're talking about Paris Saint-Germain, or PSG, Napoli, Liverpool, and Red Star from Serbia. Like we discussed previously, we know that PSG want to win the Champions League. I mean, they've been splashing cash after cash. They bought Neymar for 222 million euros, and they went ahead and bought Kylian Mbappe. I'm so surprised that they haven't like been shown any red flags and been banned from the transfer window like Barcelona were, that they weren't allowed to sign anybody, because I believe it's very unfair that they've been splashing the cash that they have, because they do have this huge investor money, and it's crazy. But who are we to debate? It's okay, I guess, to see another threat in Europe and another challenge for everyone else. And Neymar left Real Madrid, Barcelona. I'm sorry, I'm already getting ahead of myself, because Neymar, we know he wants to go to Real Madrid, but we don't know if he will get to Real Madrid. But nonetheless, will we see him do some damage in Paris and for the red and blue? the other red and blue of Europe because Barca's red and blue. But will he be able to demonstrate himself for them, because he wasn't able to do it last season? And I think he even ended up getting injured, and he wasn't even really able to demonstrate against himself against Real Madrid. Very unfortunate. Then we have Liverpool, who I believe it's going to be debatable. I mean, there might be some bias mixed in there, but I believe Liverpool have way more depth than PSG, because, okay, like, if you take away Mbappe and Neymar from PSG, what do you have? Cool, you have Rabiot, yeah, but, I mean, we have Naby Keita, and sure, you have Cavani, but we have Firmino, and sure, you know, you have Thiago Silva, but we have Virgil van Dijk, and, you know, sure, you have Gianluigi Buffon, but, you know, we have Alisson. And then we have Mane, and then Salah, and then Trent Alexander-Arnold. So, you know, don't sleep on Liverpool. And you know what? I'm gonna be a little bit biased, but I want to. If Mbappe can get his head out of the clouds, and Neymar can stop worrying about acrobatics on the pitch and really deliver a good season, then they'll get first place. But until then, if Mbappe's gonna keep acting like an immature 19-year-old. Because he is 19 years old, but, I mean, if he's going to keep acting mature and showing that he's not capable of it, then I see them getting second place, and Liverpool can very well get first place. And those two matches are going to be very important. is going to be very important. The PSG and Liverpool matches will determine who's going to finish in first. But as of now, I'm saying Group C, a smidget of biasm, but the rest, actual credibility. And it's, for me, it's Liverpool, PSG, Napoli, and Red Star, unfortunately, are going to go back to Serbia, because I don't see them getting out of this group of death. So, yeah, Liverpool, PSG, Napoli. Moving forward, Group D, one of the sleepy teams, one of the could it be an underdog group? I don't know, because for me, I think that this is one of the Group D is the only club, the only group, I'm sorry, in the Champions League that doesn't have, like, a five-star superstar goal-scoring team, because they have Lokomotiv from Russia, who aren't doing very good in the Russian league, Porto, who are probably going to end up first place, because, I mean, Porto always do good in Europe, and you got Schalke, who aren't doing very well in Germany either, and then Galatasaray, who I should be paying more attention to the Turkish league, but nonetheless, because we know they have other good teams in there. Excuse me, but I mean, there isn't too much I could say about this group other than I see Porto going through in first place, Schalke going through in second, Galatasaray finishing their other half of the campaign in the Europa League, and then, you know, and hold up, yeah, and then Lokomotiv going back to Russia. So this is it. Group D, Porto first, Schalke second, Galatasaray third, Lokomotiv fourth. And I'll come back and I'll listen to this episode, and once the Champions League over, we'll see how many of these I got right. Group E, the easiest group of all, because they got Bayern Munich, and then everyone else will battle for second place. Like, Bayern Munich already have that gift in Germany, because they literally don't have to put their energy into the Bundesliga, because every season is pretty much already won. So, Bayern Munich first, Benfica second, Ajax third, playing their trade in the Europa League, and AEK from Greece playing in nothing, going back to their Greek league and staying in fourth. Group F, Man City, Shakhtar Donetsk, Lyon, and Hoffenheim. I like Lyon. They lost Lacazette. I like Lyon. They lost Mariano. And I don't think they brought anyone in to fill in the holes and gaps that they have been left. They lost a great striker in Lacazette, who finally was able to play alongside Aubameyang in the Premier League and for Arsenal. But this is what you got to know, that we have Anthony Lopez, who is like either first or second goalkeeper for the Portuguese team. They got Yang and Biwa, not the real Marcelo. I'm going through this team and I'm like, you know, like players that jump out the most to me. And I mean, for me, Lyon is that team that I like. They got Moussa Dembele from Celtic, which maybe he might be a good replacement for Mariano and Lacazette. They got Memphis Depay. Okay, that's good. And they got Yassine Fekir, who Liverpool are going gaga over, trying to sign him over the season. And it's pretty cool that he got to stay and keep showing his trade in Lyon, because without him, I don't know. But this is how it's going to go. Obviously, Manchester City is on the Bayern Munich boat. You're in the most ideal league to focus nicely on your respective league, especially how Manchester City are one of the most competitive leagues in the world. And then you just get to cruise through Group F, getting first place. For me, I think that Lyon can get second. Hoffenheim will get third, play their trade in the Europa League. And then Shakhtar Donetsk will go back to Ukraine. Group G, Madrid, Roma, Moscow, and Victoria Pilsen. Woo. Real Madrid will get first, Roma will get second, Moscow will play their trade in the Europa League, and Pilsen will go back to the Czech Republic. Because Real Madrid will try to defend their title, Roma needs to redeem themselves. Moscow are going to have a lot on their plate in the likes of facing Real Madrid, facing Roma, and then having to play their own trade in Russia. So enjoy the Europa League, Moscow, and Pilsen. Enjoy your Czech Republic League. Finally, Group H, Juventus, Manchester United, Valencia, and Young Boys. Literally, you can feel the transition in depth. I went into like the first two groups, three groups, and then after that, I'm just like, all right, it's all downhill from here. There isn't that energy and inertia anymore. Group H in the final league of all, Juventus, Manchester United, Valencia, and Young Boys. We will get to see Manchester United versus Juventus. We will see Paul Pogba versus old Juventus in Man United, and we will see Cristiano Ronaldo versus his old Man United. Sorry about that. Anyways, I pray for the day that we're at the level where we get to edit those coughs out. Juventus, Man United, Valencia. Very tasty. But this is the reality of it. I'm a huge La Liga supporter. I like La Liga. I like following it. One of my favorite teams in the world plays there, Barcelona, and I've always kept my eye on La Liga. But as much as I want to say Valencia can really fight for that second place, and they can, and I wouldn't be surprised if Man United end up playing their trade in the Europa League and Valencia beautifully take that second league place, that second place in their group. But as of now, as they have it on the UEFA website, that's exactly how it's going to stay. Juventus, Man United, Valencia, and Young Boys. Young Boys will go back to Switzerland. Valencia will keep getting a chance to prove themselves in European football. But for the Europa League, Man United have a lot of work to do if they actually want to be an actual threat to take it all. And Juventus, well, Ronaldo's going to try winning the Champions League in another team that's not Manchester United and it's not Real Madrid. Woo! That was a breath. That was a mouthful, a breathful, a lungsful. Who's your pitch to get the golden ball for... The golden boot, I'm sorry, for this Europa League? Will it be Ronaldo? Will it be Messi? Will it be Harry Kane? Will it be Salah? Who do you see? Will it be Lewandowski? Who do you see? Griezmann, Mbappe, Neymar? A lot of big names. What's your prediction for winning the golden boot of the Champions League? So much to talk about. I'll see if before I leave on my little getaway, I'm able to talk about some other topics that are very important. For example, Messi and Griezmann being snubbed of FIFA's the best, and will we see Messi at the Ballon d'Or gala or anything like that? Messi and Griezmann deserve to be in the best. You know what? I'm going to leave these good topics because I have a lot on my mind and a lot on my chest to get off in the next episode of episode 8 of the Soccer Symphony. But nonetheless, I've been your host, Jeffrey Vitas. I hope you enjoyed this episode and stay awesome. I hope this podcast has been music to your ears, and I'll see you and I'll catch you in the next one. All right, sorry about that. But nonetheless, getting back onto the topic, for me, the first group of death is Group B. The second group of death is Group C. And then you could debate between Group A and Group H that has Group A, Atletico, Dortmund, Monaco, Club Brugge. Group H, we could talk about, you know, Juventus, Man United, and Valencia being strong. But shining the light on the Man United subject, like I said, I think Man United needs to get their affairs in check before they start actually pursuing a realistic Champions League campaign. Sure, they'll show damage. Sure, I think they'll get out second place in the group, because obviously I feel like Juventus can get their stuff together, and Ronaldo can put his goal scoring boots back on, and he can demonstrate what he's made of and show that he's done it in England. He's done it in Portugal, England, he's done it in Spain, and he's gonna do it in Italy. So we'll see what that happens. But nonetheless, I mean, I guess I wanted to shine a quick light on every on the top contenders, and if you were taking note, you'll remember every single one of them that I spoke. I mostly shine a light on like the player of each group, but because we have sort of some light groups, some groups that are lighter and aren't as complicated as like a group B or a group H or A or C. But we're gonna break down every single group, and then we'll end the Champions League segment, which went from being a let's talk about Liverpool in the Premier League segment to like let's talk about Liverpool into the Champions League, and then we literally transitioned into the Champions League. Who knows why? But anyways, Group A, Atletico, Dortmund, Monaco, Club Brugge. I'm going to give you like a quick prediction of who I think will finish in first, second, third, and fourth place. As we know, in the Champions League, if you finish in third place, you get a beautiful spot in the round of 32, I think, or something like that. You get another shot in the Europa League, and that's what you do. So, let's talk about it. All right. You have Group A. Atletico, Dortmund, Monaco, Club Brugge. Atletico, for me, will finish in first place because they have the depth, because they have the squad, because they just got Lamar from Monaco. And that's funny because we're going to see like Lamar face his old partners in Monaco. And I think I mentioned in episodes prior that Monaco are the team that let every single one of their star players go. I think Bernardo Silva played for Monaco, and then they bought him. Then Manchester City bought him. I think Bernardo Silva played in Monaco. Gian Moutinho played in Monaco. James played in Monaco. Lamar played in Monaco. As we know, he now signed for Atletico Madrid. I'm trying to think. Oh, Mendy, who now plays his trade in Manchester City, played in Monaco. I'm trying to think. And I know there's been other players who have left Monaco, but Monaco isn't the side who they used to be. And they have a very veteran striker in the likes of Falcao. But I don't think Monaco have depth to carry them further on into the Champions League. Soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, has the tradition or the surprise of always surprising us and proving us wrong sometimes. And I can talk smack about Monaco right now, and then they end up being... Then you end up seeing like Monaco take dubs and like probably even end up first place in Group A. So soccer does a great job of contradicting us and all the people who think they have good predicting game. But on paper, and I'm speaking solely on paper, I believe that this is how it's going to end. So I pin Atletico to win first place. I pin Dortmund to get second place. I think it's the obvious. I pin Dortmund to get second place because they got Pulisic, because, well, they lost Batshuayi to Valencia. He got loaned. He's still a Chelsea player, but he got taken from Dortmund and got shipped over to Valencia. And, can we discuss about, take a quick little look at the Dortmund squad list really quick, because I don't even know who they have anymore. I mean, I think Socrates was their player, but then as we saw, Socrates... now plays his trade in Arsenal. He's wearing an Arsenal jersey now. They don't have a goalkeeper that you're like, oh, you know, like. But they got Hakimi, the left back, I believe, from Real Madrid. He's loaned, obviously. They got Julian Weigl, who's always shown himself as being good. They still got Lucas Piszczek. Thomas Delaney, they got Mario Götze, they got Marco Reus, and if he can keep himself healthy, then he can prove his worth. They got Mohamed Dahoud, who, if you play FIFA Career Mode, you know he's a beast to get, and you'll level him up quickly. You got Christian Pulisic, the American Wonder Boy. They got Paco Alcácer, who I almost slipped from my mind. Now, he got the number 9. He replaced that sort of Batshuayi role. Now, will he be able to deliver for Dortmund like he never really got the chance to deliver for Barca? He got his fair share of goals in, but clearly you're not going to shine when the number 9 on your team is Luis Suarez, who's delivering season after season, and even though he's having a slow start this season, They still found it in their desires to loan Paco Alcácer to Borussia Dortmund. And then they got Maximilian Philippe And those are the names that stand out the most for me if I'm looking at it, like, you know, will he deliver? We will see further on what's going to happen. All right. Third, I pinned Monaco to go finish playing the second half of their European campaign season in the Europa League, because I believe that's where they probably will do better, because I believe Atletico know what they want, and Dortmund really have to challenge themselves, because they can't keep letting the only really German threat in European football to be Bayern Munich, and they really have to make a stance. I don't know if Paco Alcácer will really be the answer to all their problems. And other than that, I don't see them having like another threat of a goal. But I hope Paco Alcácer proves us wrong, because being a Barcelona supporter, we hope that he does what he can do and show Barcelona that, A, he needed to go out to maybe explode and play us straight in another league. And we know that Suárez is aging, so will he be able to be some sort of replacement for Suárez if he decides to blow up for Dortmund? We don't know. But like I said, I believe Monaco will end up in third place going to play their trade in the Europa League, because they lost their stars. I mean, come on, let's take a look at their squad list, at their roster, because I really don't know who they even have anymore. I know they brought new people in. Obviously, they aren't going to just keep selling their players and getting rid of them and then not have nobody. I mean, they got Subasic, who did a hell of a job for Croatia in the World Cup, one of the best Croatian goalkeepers and the likes out there. They got Jemerson. They got Sibde. They got Glik, Ragi. I'm just saying, Benjamin Hendricks. I think he played in the German league. I just don't remember what club he played for. But I mean, he's another player that if you check it out in the FIFA career mode, if you get him, he's tasty. Let's see who else they have. They got Yudi Tielemans, who's another Scarlet. If you get him in FIFA, why am I talking a lot about FIFA career mode? Because I love it, and it's pretty dope. They got Adama Traore. They got Nasir Charlie. They got Golovin, who did a very good job for Russia in the World Cup. Radamel Falcao. They got Jovetic, which is pretty cool. I never knew that. Excuse me. But you know what? I mean, like, you look at Monaco's squad and you're like, okay, you know what? I should have bit my tongue and reevaluated things, but I still think that they can actually be a stronger threat in the Europa League as in the Champions League. I think that... I believe that second place will definitely be fought between Dortmund and Monaco. And while Atletico Madrid are doing their job of beating Dortmund, Monaco, and Club Brugge, and Dortmund are battling it out for second, Club Brugge will literally be the underdog in this club, in this group. Clearly be the underdog, that no one's going to be focusing on them, that they could surprise us. And maybe Monaco will end up fourth, and they'll go to the Europa League. But nonetheless, I know that Monaco or Dortmund will get second, and be careful for Club Brugge, because they could end up freaking surprising us, and they can be end up going to the Europa League. Or hell, maybe they play the hell out of their trade and they end up getting second place. We don't know. But in that beautiful transition, we're going to go on to Group B, where we talk about Barcelona, Tottenham, PSV, Eindhoven, and Inter. Because we have two of my favorite clubs in here, Barcelona being from Spain and Inter being from Italy, because I support Inter in the Italian league. Because I know there's some people that say, oh, well, I think you should only support one club and one club only. But I love football, and I love all the leagues, and you got to keep your eye on every single league, and you got to have a team that you support in every single league to keep things fun, to keep things, you know, interesting. For anyone who supports soccer and loves soccer knows that Messi got snubbed for FIFA's the best, which is a topic that I do want to talk about, but this might just become a Champions League episode, and we might not stray away onto other segments until another episode. But he got snubbed for FIFA's the best. He got snubbed from the European Player of the Year, but clearly, I mean, whatever. I don't want to get into too much depth, too much into that topic, because clearly, if I want to do another episode, it will solely be on we will be talking about individual trophies, which is FIFA's the best, the Ballon d'Or, the European Player of the Year, etc., etc., etc. Anyways, moving forth, Messi has to prove himself again, and he needs to get back on the throne, because I am a Barcelona fan, but I am also a Messi fan, and I believe Messi is one of the greatest players to ever live currently, and he will definitely leave a big legacy behind. And who like Ronaldinho said that Barcelona should just retire the number 10 once Messi leaves football because no one will ever be able to wear the number 10 in Barcelona and probably fill the shoes in of what Messi does, because Messi goes game after game, record after record. Messi has gotten to the point that he's scored so many goals that every other goal is probably breaking a record, whether it's being La Liga top goal scorer, whether it's scoring most goals in a season, whether it's scoring Barcelona's 1,000th goal in La Liga. You know, Messi's there. And Messi's going to deliver. And Messi's going to show his worth. And not only Messi, but Dembele really wants to show that that Kylian Mbappe isn't the only young Frenchman who's out there, and that he wasn't bought for no reason for millions and millions of euros from Borussia Dortmund a couple seasons ago, and he's going to show his worth. And then also you got Malcolm coming in. You have a great midfielder in the likes of Douglas, that a couple of players have said he shows a lot of likes and comparisons to Xavi Hernandez, who was Barcelona's, probably debatably one of Barcelona's greatest players who ever played for the club. And Douglas. Anyways, then we're going to talk about Tottenham. And Tottenham, I think, have done very well in the Premier League, but they haven't won anything, I think, at all. They haven't won an FA Cup. They haven't won the Carabao Cup. They haven't won the Premier League in a while, in years and years and years. Like, I don't remember the last time that Tottenham actually won some silverware. And will they have something to prove in the Champions League? Yeah. They don't have the depth. Like, they put out their first squad, and that's all they have. Like, they don't have somebody that they can pull off the bench. Like, we saw them make a tasty signing in the likes of Lucas Moura, but that was last season. That was in the January transfer window of last season. And this transfer window, Tottenham didn't make any signings, which I respect, because I actually like clubs who decide to invest and develop their youth and develop the players that they already have. And they got Lucas Moura, who did very good, and we saw him do very good, very well against Manchester United. And we see that Tottenham can actually get the job done. So I pinned Barcelona to get first, and I'm pinning Tottenham to get second. We saw what they did against Real Madrid, and they did it at they did it at Wembley, and they did it at the Bernabeu, and they did a very good job last season. Even though, I mean, Real Madrid ended up winning their third consecutive Champions League, but nonetheless, I believe that they have to redeem themselves and show what they're worth. And it hurts for me to say, because I'm an Inter fan and I would love to see them play in the round of 16, you know, and get back on it and on a international scale, because we haven't done very well in Serie A, let alone talking about this is their first time in the Champions League in like 6 years or something like that. It's been a while since Inter have been in the Champions League. We've either been playing Europa League, or we've done so shite in the league that we haven't even gotten in a European position to play. So that's something to keep in mind. And then we have PSV Eindhoven. So I think Inter will get third, Tottenham will get second, Barca will get first, and PSV Eindhoven is going to have to battle it off really hard and demonstrate what they're worth. And they'll probably end up getting knocked out and just end up in Group B at fourth place in Group B, because I think Group B is really considered one of the groups of death, if not like the group of death, or up there with Group C, which is next, because we're talking about Paris Saint-Germain, or PSG, Napoli, Liverpool, and Red Star from Serbia. Like we discussed previously, we know that PSG want to win the Champions League. I mean, they've been splashing cash after cash. They bought Neymar for 222 million euros, and they went ahead and bought Kylian Mbappe. I'm so surprised that they haven't like been shown any red flags and been banned from the transfer window like Barcelona were, that they weren't allowed to sign anybody, because I believe it's very unfair that they've been splashing the cash that they have, because they do have this huge investor money, and it's crazy. But who are we to debate? It's okay, I guess, to see another threat in Europe and another challenge for everyone else. And Neymar left Real Madrid, Barcelona, I'm sorry. I'm already getting ahead of myself, because Neymar, we know he wants to go to Real Madrid, but we don't know if he will get to Real Madrid. But nonetheless, will we see him do some damage in Paris and for the red and blue, the other red and blue of Europe, because Barca's red and blue. But will he be able to demonstrate himself for them, because he wasn't able to do it last season, and I think he even got ended up getting injured, and he wasn't even really able to demonstrate against himself against Real Madrid. Very unfortunate. Then we have Liverpool, who I believe it's gonna be debatable. I mean there might be some bias mixed in there, but I believe Liverpool have way more depth than PSG, because okay, like if you take away Mbappe and Neymar from PSG, what do you have? Cool, you have Rabiot, yeah. But, I mean, we have Naby Keita, and sure, you have Cavani, but we have Firmino, and sure, you know, you have Thiago Silva, but we have Virgil van Dijk, and, you know, sure, you have Gianluigi Buffon, but, you know, we have Alisson, and then we have Mane, and then Salah, and then Trent Alexander-Arnold. So, you know, don't sleep on Liverpool. And you know what? I'm gonna be a little bit biased, but I wanna, if Mbappe can get his head out of the clouds and Neymar can stop worrying about acrobatics on the pitch and really deliver a good season, then they'll get first place. But until then, if Mbappe's gonna keep acting like an immature 19-year-old, because he is 19 years old, but I mean, if he's gonna keep acting mature and showing that he's not capable of it, then I see them getting second place, and Liverpool can very well get first place. And those two matches are going to be very important. is going to be very important. The PSG and Liverpool matches will determine who's going to finish in first. But as of now, I'm saying Group C, a smidgen of biasm, but the rest, actual credibility. And it's for me, it's Liverpool, PSG, Napoli, and Red Star, unfortunately, are going to go back to Serbia, because I don't see them getting out of this group of death. So yeah, Liverpool, PSG, Napoli. Moving forward, Group D, one of the sleepy teams, one of the could it be an underdog group? I don't know, because for me, I think that this is one of the Group D is the only club, the only group, I'm sorry, in the Champions League that doesn't have like a five-star superstar goal-scoring team, because they have Lokomotiv from Russia, who aren't doing very good in the Russian league. Porto, who are probably going to end up first place, because, I mean, Porto always do good in Europe. And you got Schalke, who aren't doing very well in Germany either. And then Galatasaray, who I should be paying more attention to the Turkish league, but nonetheless, because we know they have other good teams in there. Excuse me. But, I mean, there isn't too much I could say about this group, other than I see Porto going through in first place, Schalke going through in second, Galatasaray finishing their other half of the campaign in the Europa League, and then, you know, and hold up. Yeah, and then Lokomotiv going back to Russia. So this is it. Group D, Porto first, Schalke second, Galatasaray third, Lokomotiv fourth. And I'll come back and I'll listen to this episode, and once the Champions League over, we'll see how many of these I got right. Group E, the easiest group of all, because they got Bayern Munich, and then everyone else will battle for second place. Like Bayern Munich already have that gift in Germany, because they literally don't have to put their energy into the Bundesliga, because every season is pretty much already won. So, Bayern Munich first, Benfica second, Ajax third, playing their trade in the Europa League, and AEK from Greece playing in nothing, going back to their Greek league and staying in fourth. Group F, Man City, Shakhtar Donetsk, Lyon, and Hoffenheim. I like Lyon. They lost Lacazette. I like Lyon. They lost Mariano. And I don't think they brought anyone in to fill in the holes and gaps that they have been left. They lost a great striker in Lacazette, who finally was able to play alongside Aubameyang in the Premier League and for Arsenal. But this is what you got to know, that we have Anthony Lopez, who is like either first or second goalkeeper for the Portuguese team. They got Yang and Biwa, not the real Marcelo. I'm going through this team and I'm like, you know, like players that jump out the most to me. And I mean, for me, Lyon is that team that I like. They got Moussa Dembele from Celtic, which maybe he might be a good replacement for Mariano and Lacazette. They got Memphis Depay. Okay, that's good. And they got Yassine Fekir, who Liverpool are going gaga over, trying to sign him over the season. And it's pretty cool that he got to stay and keep showing straight in Lyon, because without him, I don't know. But this is how it's going to go. Obviously, Manchester City is on the Bayern Munich boat. You're in the most ideal league to focus nicely on your respective league, especially how Manchester City are one of the most competitive leagues in the world. And then you just get to cruise through Group F, getting first place. For me, I think that Lyon can get second, Hoffenheim will get third, play their trade in the Europa League, and then Shakhtar Donetsk will go back to Ukraine. Group G, Madrid, Roma, Moscow, and Victoria Pilsen. Woo! Real Madrid will get first, Roma will get second, Moscow will play their trade in the Europa League, and Pilsen will go back to the Czech Republic. Because Real Madrid will try to defend their title, Roma needs to redeem themselves. Moscow are going to have a lot on their plate in the likes of facing Real Madrid, facing Roma, and then having to play their own trade in Russia. So enjoy the Europa League, Moscow, and Pilsen. Enjoy your Czech Republic League. Finally, Group H, Juventus, Manchester United, Valencia, and Young Boys. Literally, you can feel the transition in depth. I went into like the first two groups, three groups, and then after that, I'm just like, all right, it's all downhill from here. There isn't that energy and inertia anymore. Group H in the final league of all, Juventus, Manchester United, Valencia, and Young Boys. We will get to see Manchester United versus Juventus. We will see Paul Pogba versus old Juventus in Man United, and we will see Cristiano Ronaldo versus his old Man United. Sorry about that. Anyways, I pray for the day that we're at the level where we get to edit those coughs out. Juventus, Man United, Valencia. Very tasty. But this is the reality of it. I'm a huge La Liga supporter. I like La Liga. I like following it. One of my favorite teams in the world plays there, Barcelona. And I've always kept my eye on La Liga. But as much as I want to say Valencia can really fight for that second place, and they can, and I wouldn't be surprised if Man United end up playing their trade in the Europa League and Valencia beautifully take that second league place, that second place in their group. But as of now, as they have it on the UEFA website, that's exactly how it's going to stay. Juventus, Man United, Valencia, and Young Boys. Young Boys will go back to Switzerland. Valencia will keep getting a chance to prove themselves in European football. But for the Europa League, Man United have a lot of work to do if they actually want to be an actual threat to take it all. And Juventus, well, Ronaldo's going to try winning the Champions League in another team that's not Manchester United and it's not Real Madrid. Woo! That was a breath. That was a mouthful, a breathful, a lungsful. Who's your pitch to get the golden ball for... The golden boot, I'm sorry, for this Europa League? Will it be Ronaldo? Will it be Messi? Will it be Harry Kane? Will it be Salah? Who do you see? Will it be Lewandowski? Who do you see? Griezmann, Mbappe, Neymar? A lot of big names. What's your prediction for winning the golden boot of the Champions League? So much to talk about. I'll see if before I leave on my little getaway, I'm able to talk about some other topics that are very important. For example, Messi and Griezmann being snubbed of FIFA's the best, and will we see Messi at the Ballon d'Or gala or anything like that? Messi and Griezmann deserve to be in the best. You know what? I'm going to leave these good topics because I have a lot on my mind and a lot on my chest to get off in the next episode of episode 8 of the Soccer Symphony. But nonetheless, I've been your host, Jeffrey Vides. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And stay awesome. I hope this podcast has been music to your ears. And I'll see you and I'll catch you in the next one.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.